Today's episode will be part one of a three-part series that Laura and I will be doing on narcissism. This week's episode, we will be discussing the difference between narcissistic personality disorder and someone who displays the traits of NPD but doesn't actually have it, otherwise known as an asshole.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Who Said You Have To, where we discuss how society dictates to us who we must be and how we must live our lives.
In this podcast, we will also help you find ways to choose the life you want to live with no fear or judgment.
My name is Tina Mason, and I am an emotional trauma intuitive and an expert in human communication, as well as how the human mind creates disease in the body. I am also co-owner and co-founder of Free Will Healing, where we strive to create a space for every human to heal emotionally, spiritually, and physically with no fear and no judgment.
My name is Laura Schmidt, and I have been a nurse for 17 years. I am also a registered yoga teacher with 500 hours of training. My focus is teaching gentle yoga movements to help those who deal with chronic pain. My true passion, though, is aligning the chakras to create balance and harmony within. I am also co-owner and co-founder of Free Will Healing.
So, Laura, what are we going to be talking about today?
We're going to talk about the difference between narcissism and just being an a-hole.
Ooh.
It's out there prevalent now. Everybody keeps stating, you know, I was married to a narcissist or I dated a narcissist. And I always wonder, were they really a narcissist or are they just a-holes?
Well, and it is very interesting because I have noticed a huge uptick in my clients coming to me and saying same thing. You know, husband or my ex-husband was a narcissist, my ex-boyfriend, my ex-girlfriend, my child, or do you think I am? Narcissism itself is actually pretty rare, I think 200,000 cases a year. But narcissistic behavior, it can be easily mistaken for being a narcissist as opposed to just being selfish or unkind.
Yeah, and narcissism actually has to be official, is supposed to be diagnosed.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
A psychological diagnosis.
That's right. So narcissistic personality disorder.
What is it?
So, narcissism is a disorder in which a person has an inflated sense of self-importance and is found more commonly in men. Symptoms include an excessive need for admiration, disregard for others' feelings, an inability to handle any criticism, a sense of entitlement, and many more things.
Many, many more.
We are going.
And many more.
And we are going to also, since we're putting out definitions here, we're also going to talk about what an emotionally intelligent person is, because narcissists are always very drawn to emotionally intelligent people. And Laura, will you tell us what an emotionally intelligent person, what the definition is?
Yes, it's me. No, I'm just kidding. Emotional intelligence, it refers to the ability to perceive, control, and evaluate emotions. The ability to express and control emotions is essential, but so is the ability to understand, interpret, and respond to the emotions of others. Psychologists refer to this ability as emotional intelligence, and some experts even suggest that it can be more important than IQ in your overall success in life.
What I am getting from this is emotional intelligence is not just the ability to control your own emotions, but it is actually the ability to understand, interpret, and respond correctly to other people's emotions, to interpret their emotions, to kind of have empathy, if you will. I think that's really interesting that it says that a lot of the psychologists say that it's actually more important than your IQ for success in your life. That kind of goes back to what we discussed on a previous podcast of, you know, what is success? Well, happiness is success. Being able to understand and interpret other people's emotions, I would think, will help you to be successful in life. A lot less drama.
For sure.
So now we know what a narcissist is, and we also know what an EI, an emotionally intelligent person is. Laura and I are going to kind of discuss the signs of an actual narcissist, actually, and this could be traits of as well.
Correct.
But a narcissist would have all of these, because you can have somebody who's just a jerk or not a nice person, but they don't have like an overwhelming need to be admired or, you know,
exaggerating.
Laura, you want to start us out?
I will. They have a sense of entitlement. A key aspect of narcissists is their sense of entitlement, because the world is supposed to revolve around them. So if we use this one, we'd have to say that all teenagers are narcissists.
Well, I think that would...
If we just used one trait, right?
That would be accurate, I believe. Yeah. And it's really important to look at that and say that their sense of entitlement comes from their belief that the world should revolve around them, mm-hmm. not because they worked really hard at something, not because they, you know, feel like I dated the boss's daughter, I should have gotten that promotion. Mm-hmm. They literally believe just because they exist, just because they exist and they breathe, that the world should revolve around them. And that is a big difference between an actual narcissist and having the traits of mm-hmm. a narcissist.
Gotcha.
So the next one is they expect to be admired. When we say expect to be admired, we're not just talking about they want you to think that they're pretty and shiny. They have this, it's not just a desire, it's an actual expectation. If they are not being constantly showered with praise, they will become very agitated. And on the other side of that, too, not only are you not praising them, but if you dare to give them any kind of constructive criticism or anything like that, they will just outright just reject it. And it is because they are so concerned with their self-image that they cannot accept any kind of advice or criticism, no matter how you word it, mm-hmm. no matter how it is worded to them, because in their minds, they are not the one that needs to change. It is the rest of the world that
yes.
needs to change, because what they are doing is already perfect.
This one I witnessed a lot in an ex relationship. It is they exaggerate their life.
Exaggerate their life.
Yeah,
what
and it's not just
what
the
does that
it's
mean?
Not just the fisherman that caught a bigger fish than than what they said. I think that's called fisherman's disease, FD.
Yeah, it's not that the fish was a foot bigger, it's 10 feet
yeah.
bigger.
So this exaggeration is that they can turn the most mundane details of their lives into this unbelievable, outrageous story. And it's all lies.
Right.
So I don't think the whole story necessarily is lies, but each of that exaggeration of it, their compulsion to impress and be admired will often make them omit the facts or make up the events to fit their narrative better.
Right.
So they're able to weave a very exciting, interesting story.
Right.
And they do not like to be pointed out when that story is not correct.
No.
Oh,
yeah.
If looks could kill.
Yeah. Here again, there's a big difference between someone who says the fish was 6 inches bigger
uh-huh.
and 6 feet bigger.
Although we've been lied to what 6 inches is, so maybe they just...
Well, that's why women aren't good at math.
Yeah.
Because we've been told this is 8 inches.
Ooh.
And I measured
and she's
it.
Just showing...
It's two.
Yeah.
Another trait is they always believe that they are superior to everyone around them. Their egos always get the best of them, and they just have this air of superiority.
Uh-huh.
And their superiority complex oftentimes causes them to think that anyone who dares to criticize or challenge them is delusional.
We both experienced that one recently.
I literally had an event that Laura and I were at. Now, just for our business, Free Will Healing, on our door, it says, Free Will Healing, live the life you choose. And Laura and I were at an event, and there was a man speaking. He was basically saying, you know, he has this program, and if you live this program for the first time in your life, that you can live the life you choose. So, like, you can have the life you want.
He asked.
He asked. He said, does anybody here live the life they choose? And I raised my hand. I said, I do. It's literally on the door of my business. I didn't say that part of it.
No.
All I said was, I do. And this man got so flustered and annoyed that—
He pointed a finger at you.
And then he this big group of people, and he said, you're delusional.
Yeah. And when I questioned their answer to me about something, they did not call me delusional, but it goes along with that sort of, you know, that superiority complex. You know, how dare you criticize or challenge them?
Well, yeah, no, we were definitely, because neither one of us, they wanted us to fit in this box after telling us not to put ourselves in a box. They wanted us to pick one of four boxes, and both of us were like, well, none of those boxes really fits what we do.
So just pick the best one.
And they were like so annoyed and like got very aggressive and very bully, you know, uh-huh. like, just pick one. We were like, hey, hey, hey.
Simmer down, man.
Simmer down, Shelby.
Shelby.
Mother's Day.
So anyways, but that was my delusional moment. If a narcissist does face obstacles like that, and I wasn't trying to challenge, he asked a question and I answered
it.
Oh,
I was.
Well, I wasn't. I was literally answering his, like, I was all proud of myself.
Yes,
I was like,
you were.
You know? He 100% found it as a challenge because in his head.
There's no way. You're not doing my program. How are you living
exactly.
the life?
Yeah. And then that man literally came to our office like a week later to see one of our other practitioners. And he was just so rude and condescending while he was here.
Like a narcissist.
Yes.
We'll put his face next to the definition in the dictionary.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. But they convince themselves that their superiority protects them from criticism. And I wasn't even criticizing him. But that's the thing with the actual NPD is that they take anything that is not their idea
as criticism. I'm going to expose myself here. Like, I don't particularly like being questioned or challenged or criticized, right? And my husband gets upset with me because he's like, you immediately get on the defensive, right? And I'm like, well, because I thought I was right. And he wants to point it out. So it's hard when you see these definitions. I'm like, am I a narcissist?
No, you are absolutely.
I do not think I am.
Not a narcissist.
But when you read these definitions, I'm like, oh, shit. Well, I do get upset when somebody challenges me.
Well, but to what degree?
I don't belittle him or anything.
I was going to say, yeah. But if Lance challenges you, you're willing to look at it.
Yes.
And say.
But I will speak my mind.
I would not expect anything less from you, Laura, but you do speak your mind, but you will look at it. Whereas a narcissist would just
blow it off.
Well, they would discount you immediately and then they would try to humiliate you and degrade you so that nobody would listen to what you had to say because you weren't just like that guy calling me delusional because I live the life I choose without his program.
It's going to be your next tattoo.
Delusional.
Okay.
So, Laura, what
next is... they take advantage of others and lack empathy.
Well, first off, tell me what empathy is so that we know what they're lacking.
The definition of empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another.
So to have empathy.
To be empathetic.
So they take advantage of others and
they lack it.
And they don't have the ability to, they don't feel anything in that space.
This article states that narcissists are a danger to others as well as themselves. They show kindness.
Okay.
Shows of kindness will be preyed upon as narcissists see generosity as something they can exploit. Oof, I've witnessed that one.
I have as well.
Makes me nauseous. They believe relationships are a matter of power. And if they feel their power is being thwarted, they become hostile. To a narcissist, everything must be catered to their demands and be based on their perspective.
Wow.
So it's sort of that, you know, you give an inch and they take a foot.
You know what it reminds me of?
I don't know, because you're delusional. I don't know if I should trust you.
Well, it actually goes along with that. Never discount another human being because you never know what you might get from them. I don't. Somebody said that to us and we were like,
no, we don't agree. It just didn't feel right.
No.
But yeah.
Don't discount another human being because they're a human being.
Yeah. And it's for a narcissist, as soon as you show any kind of kindness or offer anything, they will take the foot in the yard. And how dare you not, you know, offer all of that to them?
Well, because they see that. They see your kindness as a weakness.
Yeah, right.
They see it as something that they can manipulate. Mm-hmm. And they will take as much as you will give. And unfortunately, the way society has taught us is... Well, be polite, mm-hmm. be polite.
Give.
Service, but not to your own detriment. Mm-hmm. Not to your not being able to have well-being for self, not have self-love. Something that takes away your self-love is not good, is not right. Something that is going to help you to be successful in life. So the next one is they live in a fantasy world. And literally when I read this, I was like, oh, I'm a narcissist. I literally stopped right here and I went and took a narcissist test. And I'm happy to say my test result said no signs of narcissism.
Said positive. Oh, no.
No, that was yours.
That was COVID.
I live in a space way different than most people because I allow for everything. When people tell me that they had an experience, I never discount it because I've had so many of my own mm-hmm. that are so out there. with a narcissist, it is not recounting fantasy or like crazy stories or things like that of amazing things that happened in their world. It is that they have literally just shaped that fantasy world into where they live. They have actually stepped outside of reality and have created these lies and this fantasy around them that, you know, they're taller, they're more handsome, they're more wealthy, they're more loved, they're more whatever it is that they feel that they are lacking. They create a space, whereas, and it's really interesting because, you know, most humans, the human mind goes the opposite way of you may be the most loved person in the world. I call it the loved unloved syndrome. And it is when you're very loved human being and the only person who doesn't see how loved you are is yourself. Right. They're like the total opposite.
Everybody loves me.
Well, of course, everyone loves me.
And I'm wondering if that, because it says they live, you know, in this fantasy world, if they actually believe it. So I've encountered people that tell these stories, these fantasies. And I'm not sure if when I pointed out that that is not the full truth and they deny it and say, no, that is the truth. I'm wondering if in their head they've turned that into a reality. Like,
well,
it is true. And they recall it that way. They, you know, because they'll deny it so strongly that they make you look like the liar. Like, no, you weren't there. I'm not lying. You're lying.
Or even if you were there, sometimes they can make you feel
distorted.
Like,
oh, that gaslighting type thing.
Ooh. Yeah.
But it says here that they will create a fantasy world rather than living in reality because real life does not support their grandiose views of themselves. Because it can't. There is no perfect life. There is no perfect world where we make no mistakes, where we look exactly the way we want to look. We speak exactly. We have the love exactly. We have. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't exist here on Earth. But they're creating almost like a space, like a heavenly realm, and then expecting people to believe that they live in it.
Yeah, that their life is that fantasy perfect. Yeah. And the way they get you to either back off from that or to accept it is they start demeaning you, intimidating, our favorite, bullying. Mm-hmm. We talked about a few weeks ago. So when their fantasy life is threatened, when it's pointed out to them, as I often did, they tend to demean you and bully the other person. So they will belittle anybody that challenges them or that won't submit to their will. We've witnessed that.
Yes, we have. And, you know, like when I was growing up, raised with narcissists, any time that I would not go along with the fantasy, if you will, especially if it was other people were around, those family members would say, oh, she's crazy or she just lies. You know, they would always demean me.
They got to turn it around on you.
Just in case I told. And, of course, I'm speaking of specifically my brother.
Yeah.
You know, because he sexually assaulted me. And so oftentimes he would try to portray me as a liar or crazy or whatever so that if I told, then he could come back and say,
I told you she's a
liar. I told you. Yeah.
It also says they will neutralize a threat to their diminishing ego by bullying and demeaning the other individual into submission.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Yes. So you're right there. Or they might attack with insults, name-calling, bullying. It's always, you know, I got to turn it around and show people, look at this idiot or look at this fool, look at this liar, look at this, you know, horrible person, horrible father.
Right.
But he pointed something bad out about me or something I did wrong. And but look at him. He's so horrible. Get that. At attention. That's the only time I think they don't want the attention on themselves is
right.
They got to turn it around.
And, you know, it's even says there that they'll actually threaten people to back off and know their place.
Oh, yes.
And be I've heard that one before. Yeah. You know your place. And I have found that in religion when I question different things in religion, people saying you're a woman, you need to know your place. Ooh, that is a narcissistic trait.
Is it back in the kitchen with the pearls and the high heels again?
Oh,
jeez.
goodness. Yeah, that's going to be a no-go.
Yeah.
The next one is the need to be controlling. They have to control everything in their environment because they tell these crazy stories that a lot of times are lies that don't have any truth in them or they've embellished it so much. It's easy to remember the truth. It's hard to remember a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to control their environment so that they aren't caught, so that they're the things that they haven't been honest about or haven't been, that they have exaggerated, like their ability to do their job or whatever, that is never found out. But they also do it because of their sense of entitlement. And it to them, it's just logical that they be in control of everything and control everyone around them because who could do it better than them?
Yeah.
And I found this really interesting. It said, a textbook narcissist demands that others say or do whatever they want so that they can reach their delusional goals, as other people are simply characters in their play, as they often will not consider others real human beings with thoughts and feelings. That's scary.
That's very scary.
That is really
scary. I don't think I've known a narcissist that will apologize when called out for their behaviors. And even the controlling part is, wow, how dare you go against me and ruin my narrative here.
Well, and that is very, very interesting that you say that. I have had in my adulthood, like everybody, I've had narcissistic people that I just have known them for such a long time and didn't realize that that's what it was. And I think sometimes I'm maybe a little more prone to them because I was raised in that environment. I have since corrected that. I usually can spot them pretty quickly now. You know, when you say to somebody something like, no, I will not allow
boundaries,
I will not allow that, you know, that's manipulative behavior. You know, their response is, no, you're the one manipulating.
Oh, yeah. It's always turned around.
And it's like, what did I do? How is that saying you won't manipulate me? How's that? And then, you know, we're going to get into the differences between men and women. In a situation like that, a man would use his size and his voice. Women will usually start crying. Well, they'll try using their body first, but if that didn't work. But then they'll start crying and cycle that way. But I had a really interesting event one time with my brother, and this was probably, I would say, maybe 5 years ago. I told my husband, I said, watch, I'm going to show no emotion because he has two cycles, good old boy and bully. And he was talking to me about something and I stayed passive the entire time. Like, and I don't mean passive like I was agreeing. I just mean like I showed no emotion one way or the other and just sat and listened. And he cycled, Terry counted, and he cycled between bully and good old boy, like where he was like being aggressive physically and verbally and then going into, oh, you know, I'm just kidding. Literally 50 times.
Wow.
In a 3-minute period.
He probably didn't even know what was going on.
I know. You should have seen the look. I mean, he had to go take a nap afterwards.
I didn't know what to do.
But he literally those were the only two cycles he had. So when he couldn't read any emotion from me, when I wasn't responding one way or the other, he just kept cycling through.
Yeah, it's the bully. They want a response.
Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, because I have to respond to one of them.
Yeah.
One of those always works, you know.
They are masters at what they do, I have to say. Consciously or subconsciously, I don't know, but they can turn it around. They can even try and make you think you're the crazy one.
Oh, all the time.
All the time. And it's like, no.
Well, because they won't take any blame. They can't.
No. And then like, just you're crazy. And usually in their relationships, when they talk back about ex relationships, it'll always be they're crazy.
Oh,
they were crazy.
They were crazy.
And I'm like, well, you probably drove them there.
So here's just a little word of advice. If you date somebody or meet a friend and they say, every mate or friend I have ever had was crazy. It's kind of like, you know,
And let's clear here, everyone. Mate, not just my ex was crazy. No, all of their exes were crazy.
All of them. Which reminds me of this story of this guy said, if you're driving to work and one or two people cut you off, they're probably assholes. If you're driving to work and you see three or more assholes, you're probably the asshole. Anyways, Laura, can you give us our next big...
Yes, they must have perfection.
My favorite word.
Yes, children must be perfect. Everybody must be perfect, and everybody must see them as perfect. So they'll hype shit up. But it does say that a narcissist often has an extremely high need and expectation for everything in their life, from work to people, to be perfect. They believe they should be seen as perfect in all aspects, and as a result, they demand those in their lives to be perfect, with life perfectly unfolding for them. Oh my goodness, that's just exhausting reading it. And for life does not happen that way. It's not. It says not only is this an inconceivable and impossible demand, but these expectations often leave a narcissist feeling dissatisfied and miserable the majority of the time because their shit's not perfect.
Right.
I wonder if their shit smells like flowers. How dare somebody walk in behind you and not smell flowers? Oh, my God.
They carry poopery with them, though, so that it still smells like, you know.
Yes.
So if the poop breaks the, like, water barrier, you know, the poopery barrier,
yeah.
It still smells like.
It smells like citrus. Not citrus, but citrus. So this often results in them becoming irritable and constantly complaining about their life.
But that is actually another really great way for you to be able to pick out a narcissist. Is there ever anything good in their life besides themselves?
Interesting.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to always be talking about what a great job they do, but my boss is an asshole.
Mm-hmm. I am the best at my job. Look what I do.
Yeah, but my company doesn't promote from within, or my boss is just an asshole. He's jealous of me.
Yeah, I have to pick up everybody's slack.
Right. You know, I'm such a great dad, but my wife spoiled our kids. Or I'm such a great mom, but my husband lets the kids get away with murder and they have no respect. And some of these things may be true.
Yes.
But when it's every single aspect of their life.
Well, it's just like you said, if you're everybody else is an asshole, but you're
yeah.
It's probably you.
You're probably the asshole.
Yeah.
Which actually just kind of rolls us right into they absolutely lack accountability. They blame others for everything. And this is like literally one of the classic signs of narcissism. And it is a complete lack of accountability. They blame everyone else for their problems or faults. Just like we were talking about, you know, I'm the best at my job, but my supervisor's an asshole or he's jealous of me. Or, you know, they always feel like other people are criticizing them because they're jealous of them or because that person isn't enough. Even if you have black and white proof and you show it to a narcissist and say, look, you accidentally, and I'm not mad at you, but you screwed up here. We just have to look at it so that we don't make this mistake again. They will flip
their
out.
Yeah.
It is never their fault. And we all know people like this. Never their fault. They actually will target and blame a lot of times the individuals that are the closest to them.
Yeah, usually the ones spouse.
The ones that are the most emotionally attached to them because, you know, they know usually they have picked an emotionally intelligent person who has a lot of empathy. And they see them as the most loyal and loving person in their life, you know, whether that's their significant other, their best friend or a parent or a child, because they feel like those are the ones that are less likely to reject them or leave them and that they'll most likely go along with their rhetoric, you know.
I always wonder, it's like, are they really smart or is that just the way their brain works? Because the way they manipulate and get out of things and are able to flip things around on most people, right? Mm-hmm. People that are aware are able to stop it now. But on those people that are not aware, they seem like these brilliant masterminds. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't think they're really that brilliant. I think it's just the way their brain works. Being an asshole.
Well, I think that they've just, it has been a matter of survival since they were very young.
Yeah.
And we'll get into, you know, in the next two episodes, we'll get into like how they're made. And but it becomes survival to, quote, fit in. It is sad. And I don't think it's a lack of or a increase in intelligence. But think about it. Think about what people through the years or people through the centuries have been able to do to survive.
Yeah. Well, because my husband and I witnessed a narcissist that appears brilliant, but I'm like, there ain't no way she masterminded that. That's just ingrained in her, in this person to be that way, and it comes out as brilliant. I was like, let's not give her credit because it's not a brilliant psyche that has able to manipulate and change the world's thoughts and beliefs on that person. It's
agreed.
It's just that's just
well,
the way
but remember,
are.
Narcissists oftentimes are raised by narcissists.
Yeah, so they learn from the best.
So they learn from a very young age of watching their parents get out of those. You know, to bully, to intimidate, to get out of those situations by never
taking the guilt trip. Those parents that do the guilt trip. We'll get into that one too. And, you know, they lack boundaries. Mm-hmm. That's a big one. They tend to lack boundaries with anyone. Yeah. Doesn't matter if it's their boss, their kids, their spouse. They believe everything belongs to them. Everybody thinks, feels, and acts as they do, and everyone has similar goals as they do. Mm-hmm. Like, why wouldn't you? Because I'm perfect and follow along with me. They do not share and do not know how to, as their perspective in this respect is incredibly similar to a toddler. I was just going to say, it seems like a toddler, right?
Yeah.
Let's not confuse toddlers not sharing with a narcissist here, but and this article states that a narcissist is shocked and highly insulted when they are told no or to do something that does not line up with their desires.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, if they want something from someone, they will go to great lengths to figure out and conjure up a plan to get it with manipulation tactics. Threats. Whew, we witnessed those. Or simply a temper tantrum.
So
basically they turn into a toddler.
Very interesting. When you've known somebody for a lot of years, mm-hmm. right? And then you do research on narcissism.
You're like, check. Check, check.
Yeah.
Check.
And I mean, granted, the person I'm specifically thinking of is not in my life anymore. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, how did I not see this? Like, I'm a pretty emotionally intelligent person,
yes.
You know? And it's like, how did I not see this?
I guess because we want to see the good in people, right?
Agreed.
And the thing with the narcissist is that they appear to be the kindest.
Oh, in the beginning, yeah.
They will, but it ends up being, you know, they will help you through anything. They will stay with you and clean your house. But it turns out that they were expecting to get that couch that you're mm-hmm. getting rid of. And they were there for so long. And
do you know when you I know, started realizing, when I started being able to identify narcissists?
Tell me.
It is when I started having self-love. When I started seeing my own value as a human being. Mm-hmm. And loving myself, and I was able to look at it and say, they're using me. Mm-hmm. I had a friend who, every time we talked on the phone, and I know I've told you about this before, mm-hmm. Every time we talked on the phone, you know, it was all about her life, her kids, her husband, her job. And as soon as I would bring up anything about myself, the subject would get changed, mm-hmm. or she had to go or whatever. And so one day, I actually, you know, after I was working on the self-love and all of that stuff and starting to see value in myself, mm-hmm. I tried like 17 times to change the conversation to something about myself and Ooh. My family.
Yeah.
And she kept going back. I think it was like the 17th time she finally was like, well, I need to go. And so I said to her, I said, did you realize that every time we talk on the phone, that anytime I try to talk about myself or my family or my job, you either change the subject or you have to go?
Yeah.
And
that's a big one.
And she was like, well, that's ridiculous. I've never heard from her again.
Shut up.
Never heard from her again.
Yeah, a big one for me was to realize once you've set boundaries, like the narcissist won't respect the boundaries. They don't give a shit, right? I personally have noticed that when I started setting boundaries with people that I thought were narcissists, right? The narcissist will not respect them.
Right.
And the person that is not the narcissist will be like, oh, God, you know what? You're right. I need to
right and
to
either,
adjust this.
And either way, once you set those boundaries, it's still healthy for you.
For me, for sure. But that's one of the ways I'm able to distinguish now is they don't give a shit about your boundary. Like, you know, I don't want to discuss this right at this moment because I'm feeling this and they don't give a shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Another narcissistic trait is the expectation of attention and validation. It is absolutely healthy to desire your family or your friends to offer you support and validation when you need it. Mm-hmm. That is so...
That's we all like to be validated.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, that's normal. That's normal human nature. But a narcissist will take it to an unhealthy level because they will expect constant
praise,
attention.
Right? A trophy.
Mm-hmm. Constant attention, even from people who aren't close to them. Like, they have the expectation that everyone, all individuals should provide attention, even at the cost of their own well-being.
Wow.
And they expect attention without providing anything in return, you know? And they will become very agitated again if they are not shown that attention that they feel like they're entitled to. And
right. They'll repeat, like, the story again. Like, maybe you didn't hear how great I was. I save lives.
You know, and
praise
it,
me.
You know, it reminds me of an individual that Laura and I know. Literally, no matter what the conversation is, this person isn't in our life anymore, but no matter what the conversation is or was, it would always go back to her. Mm-hmm. Like if Laura were to say, oh, my husband did the sweetest thing for me, it would become about this person not having a man that treated her that way. You know,
maybe he's just not that into you.
Or, you know, if we talked about, you know, something, you know, like starting our new business or whatever, or podcast or whatever, be like, nobody's ever given me those opportunities, or life's never given me that. Or, I mean, it never one time did I ever hear, oh, I'm so happy for you. Not one time.
Yeah.
And I know you know exactly who I'm talking about.
We've had a few. This next one, I am guilty of sometimes.
Well, because this next one is actually, like, I mean, this is a major trait, but the come from for a narcissist as opposed to other neurodivergent conditions. We'll get into that.
Yeah. It's talks over and interrupts others. But I think I'm sort of like a kid in that one. I was like, oh, I got something to say, right? So the narcissist will talk over and interrupt others because they don't consider the input of that other person as valuable. So I don't consider that I do that. It's not that what you're telling me isn't valuable. It's just like, oh my God, let me tell you this. Or if I don't tell you right now, I'm going to forget type thing. So, but they struggle to listen to what others are saying, especially if it conflicts with their own opinion. So they want to cut that, right? Nip it in the bud and let's reroute this, right?
Well, because they believe that their own voice and point of view is more important than anybody else's. And they don't feel like they should have to wait for their turn because...
What she's saying is stupid. Let me tell you.
Why would you want to hear anyone else? But I do want to address what you were saying that, you know, as you were... Because I myself have done this and I have to work on that. It is high on the list of symptoms of ADHD Well, I guess it's just called ADD now.
Yeah, probably that thing, if I don't speak now, I'll forget it type thing.
Sometimes it's that, or sometimes it is my ADHD brain will say, oh, if I don't say this right now, it's not going to make any sense.
Later.
You know, if they say, if they're going to go three more sentences and then what I have to say isn't going to make any sense, I got to get it in there right now while it still makes sense.
Yeah, I do that too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't make you a narcissist.
Okay.
That just means that you have...
I don't want to be a narcissist.
You have some neurodivergence in you, which... I think everybody does.
Right.
The hard part about it is that narcissists are very charming and they're very persuasive.
Oh gosh, people meet them and love them.
Absolutely. And they meet them and they love them until they are the focus of their rage.
Yeah, that's where my red flag comes up because I don't meet anybody and love them. Immediately. So if I'm like, ooh, they are so charming, I'm like, red flag.
Well, and you know, they are like in the beginning of every relationship, they're really pouring on the charm and all of that. And it's not necessarily a desire. It is a means to an end for them. It is not because they feel that internal love and admiration for this person. It is, what can you do for me?
Oh, yeah. And they can sweet talk and tell you those words you haven't heard for years.
And they know exactly the ones to say.
Yeah. And with my personality, that's more of a red flag because I'm like, you're full of shit.
Yeah.
Well, if somebody's sweet talking me, I'm like, nobody's that much of a sweet talker without wanting something.
Yeah, nope. Agreed. So now that we have all of the major traits of narcissistic personality disorder, or NPD.
How many did you check?
I told you my narcissist test was zero.
Okay. What are the difference between like being just having the traits and actually having the disorder?
Right. Well, number one. Diagnosis, but it is so hard to diagnose somebody as NPD because if you have NPD, there's no way you're going to go to a doctor and admit that there's something wrong.
And when you do, I have witnessed doctors be fooled.
Wow. That is just...
I like it. Nope.
As we were going through these, we were kind of talking about the difference between narcissism and having traits thereof.
Because you can have some of the traits, but that does not give you a diagnosis of narcissism.
Right. And I think it's the come from. It's like, you know, when we talked about sense of entitlement, do you feel entitled to that job because you feel like you worked really hard at it? Or do you feel entitled to that job because, well, of course you should have it?
Yeah.
Do you have an expectation of being admired because you have done something amazing or just because you're breathing?
Just because you exist.
Right, exactly.
You're blessed to know
me. Pretty much anybody who thinks they're superior is just an ass.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But the NPD, the narcissistic personality disorder, they will, of course, have the grandiosity.
Mm-hmm. Very self-absorbed.
Yeah.
Manipulative.
The lies, the exaggerations. So like
highly conceited. Highly
yes. The boundary violations that I talked about, right? Mm-hmm. The rule breaking, they don't give a darn.
Yep. Theirs is, it's pathological. It's not just bad parenting or having a bad experience or it's nothing like that. It is literally a disorder in their brain. Yeah.
And I see them cycle a lot through friendships. Oh, like they don't necessarily get rid of a friend, but they cycle out, right? Like they're not serving this purpose right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do something to piss them off just to get them out of my life for a little bit. And then
they'll circle back around
mm-hmm. when that person's like, well, what did I do? Why did you abandon me? And they keep the friendship. They don't end the friendship, but they just cycle around it.
And another thing that I've seen is where people start to, like for myself, when I started getting self-love and I started mm-hmm. getting, you know, all of that. And, you know, I called these people out and said, hey, I'm thinking one specific one. Hey, like, this isn't cool. Mm-hmm. You know, the way that you're treating me is not cool. They didn't talk to me for a while. And then out of the blue, they would call me and act like, everything was
nothing happened. Like, I think they think, well, if enough time goes by, she'll be fine, and I'll call her back.
Yeah, and it was mm-hmm. like nothing had happened, and then they start exhibiting that same behavior, and I say, hey, remember that conversation we had the 3 months ago? Mm-hmm. I still feel that way. I'm still in that. Yes. And then they get mad and they bully, and then 3 months later, I would get a call again, and it was just like this constant cycle of, oh, let me give you some time to forget that I treat you like crap, mm-hmm.
and you were just going through a moment.
Yeah.
Right.
And I literally had to go to a space of like blocking this person completely mm-hmm. and just having nothing to do with them whatsoever.
And we'll get into, of course, how to handle a narcissist. Yeah. But, you know, I've always read like the best way to handle a narcissist is to not.
Yeah.
Right. Just do not have them in your lives. But there are ways to, if you choose to have one as part of your life, there are ways to manage it.
Right. And that's going to be part three of this series.
Yes.
So let's go over the personality, since we know it, personality traits of a narcissist are.
Yeah.
Let's go over the personality traits of somebody who's just an asshole.
Asshole. Yeah. So the asshole is just a selfish individual who often puts their own needs above everyone else's.
The key word there is often.
Yeah. Often. Yeah, because that at points that when I have thought some people were narcissists because of some of the traits, there are times that I notice they don't constantly portray that, you know, so I'm like, okay, maybe.
Another one is that they are not afraid to offend people.
Well, I'm...
Okay, there is a big difference between...
I speak my truth whether you like it or not.
Well, but you speak your truth in a polite and respectful manner, and you acknowledge that how they take it's none of your business.
Correct.
This is more of when it says not afraid to offend people. A narcissist they never think that they're going to offend someone, because why would you be offended by what they were saying?
Gotcha.
Because everything they say is exactly correct.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody who's just not a nice person, they don't have any problem saying your ass looks fat in that or whatever they're going to be hateful about, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. So, and then they are described as rough on the outside but mushy on the inside.
People who are just kind of a jerk, they are capable of intimacy, mm-hmm. not just sex, okay, but actual emotional intimacy. But it does take a while for them to let their guard down.
Yeah.
Because most of the time people are assholes because they're afraid of how they're going to be perceived.
Mm-hmm. Or just what life has done to them, brought mm-hmm. them up rough. They don't want to be hurt.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. And not every one of their actions is, you know, motivated by what they'll get in return.
Right.
They will sometimes.
Yeah, because a narcissist will only be kind or do things if it's going to serve them in some way.
Yeah, like if you have surgery and I come here to help you and maybe I can have some of your pain pills when I'm done.
Funny. And so somebody who is not a narcissist, but they maybe have narcissistic traits, they are capable of caring for another person.
Yeah.
Whereas a narcissist doesn't have the ability to see like
to
that.
Fully.
It just doesn't even come into their space.
Yeah. They can act it really well.
Absolutely.
But they are not
because
really feeling it.
Because that person plays a role in their fantasy, right? But actual love and caring for them isn't actually there.
Yeah. It does say that the narcissists, they love to gaslight, but the a-holes light their own fires.
What does that mean?
So the narcissist, the gaslighting, let's read.
Well, I know what gaslighting is.
But. So the a-hole just they did it themselves. They're lighting their own fire. They're being the asshole. The narcissist does not want to be perceived as an asshole.
Gaslighting,
turning it around.
So, yeah.
Oh, here it is. It says, gaslighting is when the narcissist falsely convinces the victim that they are defective.
Got you.
Yeah. They might say, it's too bad you don't get along with so-and-so, you know, because if you did, we could have more friends.
Got you. And and really, it's because you're an asshole or, like, you're a narcissistic jerk and they won't be around us.
Yeah.
Got you.
Too bad you don't get along, right?
Got you.
So they're turning it around.
I got you. The next thing on our list is
alcoholics.
Alcoholics versus narcissists. And Laura, I'm going to let you take this one because this was research that you had found.
Yeah, because I had to deal with this one and it turned out they were both. And it does say that you're really screwed, right? If you've encountered this one. It literally
forgive
said
her,
that.
Forgive her, Father, for Christ. She has sinned.
My last confession was 45 years ago. So it says, I think it's easy to confuse an alcoholic or a physical abuser as a narcissist. Yet those problems do not automatically define the person as a narcissist. So the alcoholic has some similar characteristics. They put their drug or, you know, the alcohol before everyone else. It is the ultimate in selfishness. They can lie and charm people to get their drug or next drink. A physical abuser is often a victim of physical abuse themselves, and they're just using what they've learned, right, to take control of the situation. That does not make him a true narcissist. So it says if you were married to a narcissist who physically abused you and was an alcoholic, you suffered the ultimate terror. It couldn't possibly get
laughing.
Any worse.
We're not laughing because it's funny.
No, I'm laughing because
it happened.
I've been there. So there no physical abuse, but the alcoholism and the narcissism. And it was hard to distinguish which came first. It's like the chicken egg. Are you, do you have all these traits because you're an alcoholic, or is your narcissism blooming through there? So the, you know, the alcoholic has to try to hide their alcohol use. And then when they get accused of being an alcoholic, the narcissist comes out and wants to turn it around and make you seem like the crazy one. And you don't know what you're talking about. So there's a double mind fuckery there.
That is crazy. That is just a whole boatload of
crazy.
Whole
another level.
So what I am hoping everyone takes away from today's episode is that there are people who have traits of a narcissist. They have behaviors. We all have behaviors that
we could at least check one off of the list.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it is the come from. It is the intent. You know, like when we talked about talking over people, is it because you believe what the other person has to say is not of value? Or is it because you're afraid that you're not going to be heard? It is really very important for us to understand the difference between somebody who truly has narcissism or NPD and somebody who is just exhibiting traits. And this is the reason why. Somebody with NPD, the chances of them being able to overcome NPD is, I believe the prognosis is less than 0.5%.
Wow.
Because
they don't have anything to change.
For you to change, you have to see that there is something that you need to change. And just by definition of what the disease does to the mind, they cannot come to that space to believe that they have done anything wrong. But people who have narcissistic traits, we can help them. We can help them to see life in a different manner. They do have emotion and love and kindness within them. And we can help them by teaching self-love. Because once they start having that self-love, the narcissistic behaviors will no longer serve them.
Mm-hmm.
My hope is that after part 2 and 3, that you will be able to distinguish the difference between NPD and traits of NPD and how to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to recommend maybe that if you believe you are a narcissist or you live with a narcissist or have a friendship with one, to go over this list and really define, okay, this person is a narcissist. And then, of course, come back and listen to what we've studied about to how to deal with one, either to your need to eliminate them from your life or if you want to keep them in your life, what you can do to stop that and make it a pleasant friendship or partnership. If you have a partner and you have a lot of children, you know, you want to protect yourself and your children. So hopefully once you decipher if that person is truly a narcissist or not, you can come back to our next 2 episodes. And if you choose to keep that person in your life, We will have tips on how to make it a successful relationship if you need to.
We appreciate all of you, and we love each of you exactly as you are.
Peace.
Tina and I know the things discussed today are not what society has taught us to believe, but I choose to believe in my own ability to see what is truth and what is not truth.
I challenge you to join us in believing your own ability to find your truth, not what society has dictated you must believe to be accepted or loved.
The truth is, you are loved exactly as you are, right here, right now. No human is more vital than another. You matter.
And you have the free will to walk your own path with no fear and no judgment.
So, Laura, do you want to tell these wonderful people how they can help us keep the lights on and keep this show coming?
Of course. Please visit our show notes, and there's a link to our Patreon account there. If you have suggestions for topics that you would like us to cover or you have a question, please feel free to contact us via email at whosaidyouhaveto@gmail.com. If you would like to know more about free will healing, Tina or me, visit our website at www.freewillhealing.com.
If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review. Reviews are how we grow our listenership and allow everyone the courage to think for themselves with no fear or judgment.
Please check the show notes for all of our Who Said You Have To social media links on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, where you can follow or subscribe to get updates for any upcoming events or personal appearances near you.
Laura and I encourage you to have faith in yourself.
And remember,
who said you have to?